HUR Voices, Washington.
Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Tonight we're talking about maintaining your composure when you're under intense pressure, when you're under stress. My guests are Dr. Cindy Dominique. She is a clinical psychologist. And Nicole Turner. She is a detox strategist. Lines are open at 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. If you're having difficulty getting through, please keep trying. I promise we will get to your phone calls. Let's go to Cecile calling from Virginia. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Yeah, of course. I was just calling to say that on the comment of the fact that you guys said that a lot of people don't have the resources to learn how to properly manage the stress that they go through. I'm 23, and I'm a waitress, and it's a pretty stressful job, you know, and sometimes you get so caught up in that stress that you don't even necessarily know how to, you know. This year I recently just had a panic attack. And it really just brought to the realization that I needed to take care of my mental health, that I needed to take days off, and that I needed to have days where I'm focused on how I'm doing, how I'm feeling, you know, making sure that things that don't matter don't overwhelm me. But, yeah, I just thought that it was great that you guys had made the fact that, you know, it's not available as it should be.
Interesting. And I would imagine when you are, as a waitress, sometimes you have great customers, and sometimes you have some that
unbearable.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So, Cecile, I'm sorry, not Cecile. Dr. Dominique and Nicole, talk to me about dealing with stresses in the moment, because I think that was one of the things that I was referring to earlier. There's sometimes maybe Cecile says, "Oh boy, here comes the lunch rush." So I know that these stresses are going to come. And she can prepare for it. But maybe on another day, she's having a great day, and then all of a sudden she's got an ogre for a customer. How do you deal with it as it happens?
So, Cecile, first I would like to say I'm glad you take mental health days. That is so important, because we're so focused on go, 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 go. And yeah, we never stop and give ourselves time to be free and relax. So keep taking those mental health days. But in the moment, and I really have to practice what I preach, I keep my mouth close. Mm-hmm. And because I have a big mouth, and sometimes I could be offensive.
Yeah.
Yes.
You?
Yes.
Really?
Me.
Wow. I've not seen that person.
Oh, wait.
Oh, yeah. Wait. We've got a half hour, though.
But, yeah, in the moment, it's really hard to put all those things together to make sure you don't respond in a particular fashion. But you have to really work hard and don't say anything. Give yourself, stop and think before you engage, because it can make a big difference. So that's what I constantly, a lot of self-talk, let's just say that. I remind myself over and over again. When that situation happens instantly, oh, Cindy, please be quiet. Cindy, please be quiet.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Cecile, good luck to you. Thank you so much. Nicole, do you wanted to say something?
Oh, no, I agree with Cindy that it's good to take a pause break, because we're always very reactionary, and especially when people are doing things to us that are very offensive and very rude. So it is important. It only takes a second for us to really explode. But if we can take that second and think about what are the ramifications of my actions if I lose it here? And I know that's very difficult to do, but it's a practice that you have to do over time. Even if you practice with your kids or with the dog or whatever, but you need to get in the habit of taking a pause break.
And I would also, you know, certainly recommend that for the Cecile's of the world, you need to be nice to them, because they're serving you food. So you need to be nice to them. Cecile, thank you so much. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Donna calling from D.C. Thanks for calling, Donna. What's on your mind?
Hi, how are you?
Just fine.
I forget your name, but anyway.
That's all right. I'm not going to lose it over it. It's Harold, but go right ahead.
Okay, Harold. But the thing is this, there are so many phases of stress, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, thinking of how to handle situations, one. The second is I pray about it. The third is and reacting to the situation and making sure we handle it in its proper perspective.
Explain that.
Excuse me, saying?
Explain that.
Okay, Now, trying to stay calm and cool, like COOL or parentheses KOOL, to not fly off the hook. Sometimes people try to, you know, vex you and make you angry and do the inevitable things that you wouldn't normally want to do, you know, the wrong thing. So you got to relax and exercise and do different things to keep yourself thinking positive and motivated. And try not to engage in negative or a lot of negative conversations and dealings with other people. And just keep yourself on a positive note, because it's so much stress in everyday life. You know, we go to work, we go work on a nice job, but you got someone on the job that's stressful. So therefore, you have to know how to deal with that person. See, each individual is dealt with in a different manner.
So you've never, so let me ask you this, Donna. First of all, what do you do for a living?
To tell you right now, I am in a position where I assist and I help people.
Okay, I don't know what that means. So I'll ask you again, what do you do for a living?
Social worker.
Okay, so you're a social worker and you mean to tell me you never popped off at somebody?
I have.
Okay, yeah. I mean, let's be fully transparent here, because social workers, you know, God bless them, have some of the most stressful jobs on the planet.
Thank you. And the thing is this, is that people purposely try to make you angry, to vex you.
Mm-hmm.
You have to know how to handle that, because you're expecting to handle these situations when they come like that.
Okay, well, let me see what our experts have to say about this. I think Dr. Dominique has some things she'd like to share.
Well, Donna, I don't think it's that easy, you know, to say, just avoid people, be positive, and do this and do that. It's not that easy. I deal with stress every single day when I walk out my house. When I come back into my house, what do I do to help me de-stress? I might watch Netflix, something to make me laugh and get into a whole nother mood. I watch Orange is the New Black all the time. I watch a lot of comedy, because if I focus on the serious stuff, it takes me right back to the world of stress. So I try to, yes, I could practice being positive, but it's not always that easy.
Okay, well, you know, and so it's a process, obviously. But Donna, thank you so much. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Let's talk to James. James calling from Baltimore. What's on your mind?
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
As I listen to the conversation, I'm reminded that as I was coming along as a young man, I played a lot of sports.
Mm-hmm.
And those activities prepared me to deal with stress. As I got older and went to school, I became a teacher, and the way I got involved in stress, I would be prepared. I said, well, if I know what's going to go on, and I may not have the answer or something this nature, I just get myself prepared, and I'm always ready to give at least an answer, so I can be able to defer to another day or at least have it so that I won't be sweating under my collar.
So James, and with that said, because I think that's one of the things that we want to try to, you know, try to get to, because at some point there is a decision that needs to be made, as I was just sharing with our last caller, Donna, the social worker, where you're going to be cool or you're going to pop off at somebody. And when you get to that emotional intersection, you have to make a decision as to whether or not you're going to turn left or you're going to turn right. How do you make that decision? What is the emotional exercise for you that prevents you from popping off at somebody?
I think it's preparation, and since that you've been involved with this more than just once,
mm-hmm.
and that you learn how to look at it for what it is, and as you see it and you understand it and you've seen it before, you know how to deflate it.
Okay.
And once you deflate it, then maybe another day, that same individual, you may come to that person, and both of you, double up, you can talk about what went on.
Okay.
But I think it's being prepared.
Well, thank you so much, James. I appreciate that. That makes a lot of sense. Would you ladies agree with that?
Yes, I agree.
Absolutely.
Okay. 202-319-7810. I'm going to pop off on both of you guys. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Aretha, calling from Los Angeles, California. Aretha, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
I was just telling her that I'm a bus driver in Los Angeles. And many times when you're out there, you'll see people that are already angry. So, we deal with the stress every day of angry people. We don't know what happens in their lives.
Right.
So we deal with this stress. The stress for us is dealing with someone that wants to spit in your face, people that want to attack you because of something that happened there. So this is a day-to-day thing. So, for somebody to say, well, you just keep it positive. How do you keep it positive if you're in the city of Los Angeles driving your bus and you got people that are already angry?
Great question.
Definitely. This happens all the time. I'm a native New Yorker. And like Aretha indicated, there are people who are already stressed and then they come on the bus. You don't know what just happened. And then you're the target. So a lot of times you didn't cause the stress, but you're the identified target of that person releasing their stress. And it's an unfair situation. It's scary. You don't know how to respond. You don't have the necessary resources at the present time. If you're driving the bus and you're like, I have all these people in the back of my bus, what do I do? So absolutely, Aretha, I agree. It's hard to keep positive in those particular situations.
How do you do it, Aretha? Because you still have your job, so you obviously figured something out.
I've been on the job about 20 years now. It's like, okay, when you encounter a problem at one stop, that problem, whatever goes on at that stop, leave it there.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Don't take it to the next stop and don't take it out on the next customer.
Okay.
So that's just how I have to do it.
Well, sounds good. After 20 years, it sounds to me as if you've got it down pat. So thank you so much. I appreciate your phone call. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Nicole, here's a piece that a lot of people don't think about. Sometimes we would think that these stresses are random. But then when you're dealing with people that may know you and may know what pushes your buttons, how do you deal with those triggers that someone may be aware of?
And that's a very difficult situation. I had someone who was very close to me, still very close to me. They knew how to push my buttons, and it was like they intentionally wanted to do that. And I used to react. And I would explode. And then at some point I had to say to myself that whatever her driver is, it really has nothing to do with me. It's her own issues and her own insecurities, and she's making me the target. But that took some time for me to get there. Like, even in the work environment, I had to learn that some people, they always come after you, but it's really not about you. It's about their own internal issues, internal insecurities, their own struggles. So, yeah, at first I was very explosive. I was very reactionary. The way you gave it to me, I gave it back to you. Mm-hmm. But then I had to realize that damaged me, because stress kills.
Right.
And I can't keep playing this game with you. I can't go into battle with you. And once you start stop feeding that, eventually they back off, because it fuels the fire for them to get a reaction from you. And when you stop fueling that fire, they eventually, it becomes like a little smoke, mm-hmm. and then eventually just kind of fades out. But that doesn't happen overnight, especially if it's someone who knows you well and somebody who's close to you, because there is an expectation mm-hmm. that you're going to care enough about me to not want to push my buttons. But some people, they get off on that.
And I like the fact that Nicole indicated that stress kills, because when we don't deal with our stress, the psychological stress, it manifests in a physical fashion or a physical form. It might be some somatic disorders such as heart murmur or eczema. These are some of the disorders associated with high levels of stress. You think about all these other medical conditions. So it's important to deal with the mental. And if you don't take care of the mental, then your physical is not going to be right.
When we come back, because I've got to take a break, I want you to also talk to me about triggers, whether or not you know your own triggers or whether or not someone knows your triggers and how to deal with that. I'll give you a second to think about that. Lines are still open at 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Cool under pressure. You know, they say pressure creates diamonds. Well, we'll see about that. We'll be back in just a moment. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We continue our conversation about maintaining your composure while you're under intense pressure and or stress. Let me go back to the question that I asked right before the break. Dr. Dominique, triggers. Do you need to know your triggers as well as knowing someone who knows how to push your buttons?
Absolutely. It's just like when we tell persons who have a history of abusing substances, they need to know their triggers so they can stay away from them. So, because if they don't know their triggers, they're constantly being triggered. So it's important to be self-aware about what are those things that get under your skin and who are the people who actually do engage in getting under your skin, what motivates them to do that. If they know that they're going to get a reaction or a response, then they're continuously going to do that. But it's learning who you are. You have to be introspective and understand what are those dynamics, what are the players, and all these things that lead to you being triggered.
You wanted to talk about fixing this issue because obviously we've identified the problems and the various and sundry ways in which people can present when they are under stress. So how do you fix that? How do you address these issues? Is this an anger management issue or is it more complex than that?
It's more complex than that. Anger management is just a small subset of stress as a whole. But when you think about stress, you think about depression, you think about anxiety. And coming from a mental health perspective, I think it's important that we understand that everybody gets stressed. There are situational stressors that take us to the point. And what are the resources that we can do to help deal with those stressors? Of course, I think everyone should go to a psychologist, a clinician, social worker, because it's important. I am a psychologist, but I have gone to therapy and I use my resources. My resources are also my friends. They're very objective and they're not judgmental, let me just say. And they tell Cindy what I need to hear, not something to make me feel good. So they'll chew me up and spit me out in a minute. But also some people need medication. Mm-hmm. And I think in the African American community, we tend to be opposed to those things because it's more so coming from a European-centric mindset. But honestly, it does help. Use the resources available. Friends. Some people attend church or pray. Everything. There's so many different things around it. Exercise, yoga, meditation. Mm-hmm. Expand your horizons. But we don't want you to engage in those maladaptive things such as using or abusing substances. That takes it to another level.
Mm-hmm. Nicole, your thoughts?
I definitely agree with that, especially the meditation piece and the praying piece. But also, when you're in a stressful situation, we're so focused on the negative. We have like 60,000 thoughts a day and 75% of those are negatives. There's always something for us to be grateful for. Mm-hmm. So take the time to say, hey, I've been in a situation like this before and the outcome was in my favor. Right. So think of gratitude. Oh my gosh, is a huge stress reliever.
Explain that.
When you start thinking about the things that you have in your life to be grateful for, mm-hmm. people forget that any day above ground is a good day. That in itself, that breath I just took, that's something for me to be grateful for. You're complaining about your job, but you know how many people wish they had a job? You may be complaining about the drive you have to work, but you know how many people wish they had a car to drive? There's always something for us to turn the negative into a positive. And again, it's not, I'm saying this like it's something easy. It's not something easy, but it's going to take time. It's going to take practice. But I definitely am a big proponent of praying. Mm-hmm. You know, even if you're in a crowded room, you can just have a silent prayer with yourself, because sometimes there's some situations in a crowded room with some people that we need to pray.
Amen.
Because we don't want to be escorted out in handcuffs.
Yeah. I mean, because and you know, and I've heard that prayer, you know, Lord, don't make me slap this person. You know. but all jokes aside, and you can help me with this, you know, I think one of the things that when people respond to pressures, and you, if they plan on saying something, those, if you can quickly think about how would I feel if someone said what I'm thinking about saying in the manner that I'm about to say it to me. And everybody's different. Some people have thinner or thicker mm-hmm. skin than others. But I think that hesitation can sometimes make the difference between losing your cool, popping off, however you want to put it, and really being introspective. Mm-hmm. You know, what other tools can someone use in the moment to address those things?
Well, Harold, what you just said, putting yourself in the other person's shoes, empathy. I think that's a big thing, and along the same lines as gratitude. Would I want somebody talking to me that way? So I really practice. It's muscle memory. Mm-hmm. It's not easy, but you have to keep doing it and keep doing it. Practice treating people with kindness or killing people with kindness. It's sometimes the hardest thing to do, but you really have to do it. And that has helped me along the way, because I've been placed in so many situations. I worked in prisons. You know, I work, sometimes go to the border, and I deal with law enforcement a lot. So how they come off to me, yes, I want to respond in that same fashion. But like, no, I talk to myself, really.
Mm-hmm. And it doesn't mean you're crazy when you talk to yourself. And I often say people don't understand the ramifications of their actions until they're on the receiving end. Mm-hmm. And oftentimes when people pop off and lose it, within a matter of seconds or minutes, they regret yes. the decision.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So if you take the time to think about the last time you behaved this way and how you felt afterwards, that in itself should make you push pause.
But should there sometimes be, when you're talking about dealing with people, that whether they really know your triggers or they just happen to stumble upon your triggers and they are being offensive, is there a way to respond, not necessarily like, again, popping off, but sometimes you do need to have a response that will address the moment, that will, if you're not diffusing it, sometimes you need to push back.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You have to be firm
yeah.
and assertive and set the boundaries. Because if you don't set the boundaries, people are going to constantly push the line or go over the line to see how far they can take it. And you really have to be firm and say, I don't like the way you're talking to me. If you continue.
I just heard the New York, too. Yes. Okay. See, did you hear this? You know, like the way you're talking to me. Yeah, there it is.
When I'm getting
I'm
mad.
Move to this side of the
yes.
table. Yeah.
The New York comes out. But you have to really be firm and say, I'm not going to tolerate how you're speaking to me. It's unprofessional. It's dismissive. So you have to be very clear and firm. Mm-hmm. This is not going to happen, or it's not going to continue in the way that you want it to continue.
Nicole, your thoughts about that?
Well, you know, sometimes I'll say, is that really what you meant to say to me?
Oh.
Is that really how you meant to say it? And sometimes when you give them that opportunity to think for a second, they'll kind of clean it up. Mm-hmm. But I agree. You have to set the boundaries. And, you know, I may be from Mississippi and we get you with Southern hospitality, but I am a work in progress. I once had somebody tell me you will cut people and they don't even realize you cut them because you're smiling when you're doing it.
Oh, well, there you go. Or as they often say, really? Or as I always say, is that where we are now?
Right. Yes. That is your phrase.
Yeah, that's my phrase. Well, yeah, and you know, but and I often say that again in jest, but I think it's so important, as you say, you know, Doc, to really go inside your own head and think about it. And even if you do, whether you're counting to 100 or whether you're counting to 10, and sometimes, you know, maybe you just need to breathe. And that's not a joke. You need to inhale, exhale. You need to woo-saw sometimes. Because sometimes we don't hear things, or as they say, we don't receive them mm-hmm. the way that they're meant.
Mm-hmm. And coming from the prisons, there's a thin line between being in the prison and not being in the prison. Mm-hmm. So along the same lines, stopping and think that one decision can really change your life.
Yeah, because orange is not the new black. And honestly, I do say that. When I'm in a situation, I think for a second, I'm like, I do not want to wear orange for the rest of my life. And that diffuses me.
Yes.
You're really scaring me. final thought about staying in control.
It's very important to stay in control. And as a detox strategist, when I'm working with people, a lot of the trigger points are something that started a long time ago. It may have been something that a family member did to them as a child or something they experienced in a relationship. And when Cindy talked about going inward and being introspective, a lot of people don't do that. Right. So they don't do that. They're not aware of what their triggers are. And if you're not aware of what your triggers are when they happen, even though the same things may bother you when different people do them, because you have not taken the time to assess it, you don't know it. So when you're staying in the moment, it's very important to take that time to talk to yourself. It doesn't mean that you're crazy. You're taking that time to tell yourself, this is the ramification if I react this way. If somebody, like, I can't stand for people to blow their horns. And as I was coming here, somebody blew their horn. But I had to tell myself people are crazy. Mm-hmm. So I can't act crazy because right. people are crazy. I'm not driving dirty, but they may be. So I have to, you know, calm myself.
Which is probably why I'm so glad Dr. Dominique is here, because I was saying you need to talk to her. Maybe she needs to talk to you.
No, but I have learned to, because I talk to myself and I remind myself of the life I don't want to have if mm-hmm. I react in a certain way, that helps me stay in that moment and not be reactionary.
Well, I want to thank both of you for coming in, Dr. Cindy Dominique and Nicole Turner. Always good to have you here, Nicole. And Dr. Dominique, thanks for coming in. I'm sure we'll have you back at another time. That is The Daily Drum on SiriusXM Channel 141 for this Wednesday, July 12th. I'm Harold Fisher. You can follow me on Twitter at HFisherWHUR or Daily Drum WHUR. Now, stay tuned for The Connection with Lorna Newton. Good night.
The Howard University Radio Network is WHUR 96.3 FM, WHUR World 96.3 HD2, student-run WHBC HD3, GlassHouseRadio.com, SiriusXM Channel 142, HBCU, and SiriusXM Channel 141.